Hello and welcome to the Dementia Experience podcast. I'm Clara Hebblethwaite and I'm here with the brilliant Anne, who originally I met at our coffee morning that we run locally for family members of those with dementia. Then we twigged that our mums were in the same care home, and she is an absolutely brilliant, empathetic, energetic, fantastic lady who has done masses and masses for the Dementia Experience and is now one of our directors. Hello.
Hello, you're making me blush.
Excellent. And this room is so hot.
It is very warm in here.
They've cranked up the heating, so we're both bright red, drenched in sweat. Nothing unusual there for menopausal honeys like us. So today, Anne, we are going to talk about all sorts of stuff. You have done brilliant work to do with dementia. One of the main things that you got involved with was the fun tea club that we run in Tenterton. Tell us what happens.
Love tea club. Tea club is for people that are living with dementia, with their loved ones, carers, and they come along and we do jigsaw puzzles, we play games, then the wonderful Donna gets her pom-poms and we have a massive disco and a dance about, and everybody just has some escapism and it's wonderful.
Brilliant.
Absolutely wonderful.
Who's it for? Who comes along?
We have a mix of people. It's husband and wife, where husband may have dementia or vice versa. We have carers that are out in the community, private carers, and they bring along the people they're looking after for. And it's great because those with dementia tend to settle down and do puzzles, and the carers, the loved ones, go and have a cup of coffee and a bit of a decompress with others going through the same situation.
Why is that so essential? I mean, we know why, but what have you physically heard or seen kind of happen during that decompress?
They're almost getting permission to say, this sucks, this is a bit rough at times. So it's a comfort to know that they're not the only one going through it. There's a sense of companionship. And it's looking after somebody with dementia, it's incredibly isolating, because 24/7, if you're doing it on your own at home, they are your focus and that's it. So for them to know that their loved ones are engaged doing something and they can just have an hour of downtime.
Why do you think it's different to other clubs? Because there are, you know, hundreds of these sorts of groups.
To be honest, it's hard to put your finger on it. Donna's energy is phenomenal. And I think because everybody in that room has an understanding of what everybody else is going through. There's no judgment. And it feels incredibly, incredibly safe. It feels like a very, very safe place where laughter, tears, everything equally welcome.
So letting it flow, as you say, being able to sort of feel those feelings, not having to keep such a tight and rigid lid on their feelings, particularly for those carers, is essential, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. Because you see the wives in particular come in and they look broken. They look broken because it might have taken them an hour to get their loved one to get in the car or even get their coats on, or they've had a really tough morning with them. But for that hour, hour and a half, however long, they can actually just go back to being themselves rather than being the full-time carer. And I think sometimes there's an awful lot about the person that's living with dementia, and sometimes there's not quite enough about those that are living alongside the person with dementia.
Yeah.
And they get lost along the way sometimes.
Totally. And much of the time they kind of cringe when you call them carers.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Absolutely. I think particularly for husband and wife scenarios, for better or worse, isn't it? And this is almost, I think they'd see it as their duty. It's what they signed up for. But that doesn't mean that they're not superhuman. They're all human at the bottom of it. And they're entitled to crumble like the rest of us do dealing with life.
And the intensity is so huge, isn't it?
And actually, I said to somebody the other day, she was telling me about her husband, and I said, you recognise him, but you don't know him anymore because he'd just changed beyond all perspective of the man she married. But somewhere deep inside, he was still there. But she didn't know him anymore. So she was having to evolve as a person to deal with this, not stranger because she recognised him physically, but the emotional side, the his outbursts and the changing character was somebody she didn't know anymore. But you're dealing with all that, as well as the day-to-day stuff of making sure they're dressed in the correct order and everything that goes with looking after, loving somebody with dementia.
So it is a radical alteration then, isn't it? Not just for the person with dementia, but their loved one, their whole mindset, their whole relationship, the way they present as a couple, particularly, as you say, for the husband and wife, but also for us, the daughters.
The daughters, and the sons
of those who have dementia. Like, we have to radically change the way we think.
Yeah. I know with my mum, mum had always been the person that I would turn to for advice, for guidance, to say, yep, you're doing the right thing. Even though I knew I was doing the right thing, I'm an adult. But it was just, just run it past mum. And suddenly I couldn't do that. And it was complete role reversal. And for a long while, I was desperately trying to pull her back to being the mum that I'd always known. But actually, as soon as I let go and followed her lead, it was so much easier. I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was easier.
And that process of letting go, I remember people saying to me, you know, once you've accepted your mum's situation, once you have kind of cut the cord slightly, I didn't know how that was ever going to be an option or a reality.
I was so scared of, from the day we got the diagnosis, I was so scared of what we know potentially is the final bit where they don't recognise you, they can't necessarily communicate. Luckily, we didn't have that with mum. We didn't do the full journey. But I was so fixated on that bit that I lost all the, we call them nuggets of joy, all the nuggets of joy that can happen along the way, which are the nuggets of joy we see at somewhere like Tea Club. Those connections, they're still in there. They might take a slightly different form, but there are still connections and still moments. And you literally see them come alive at times, whether they're sitting drumming on the table or we play games, and they will amaze you with, my goodness, knew that. I never thought you'd know that. Or they will try and communicate with you in different ways. If they've lost the word, we were playing a game the other day and we were thinking about capital cities. And we said, oh, France. And this lovely gentleman just started making a triangle shape with his hands. And we clicked. He's indicating the Eiffel Tower. Oh. So that connection was there.
Yeah.
But if we hadn't been looking for it and taken the time to notice it, it would have gone.
Yeah.
It would have gone. And it's those moments that you treasure. You absolutely treasure. And even with my mum, she was telling me stuff that I'd never heard before. I don't know whether it was factually correct. It didn't matter. It really didn't matter. But it was only when I realised that I needed to follow her lead, follow the path she was on rather than the path I wanted her to take.
Yes. And that's so true, isn't it? To watch them as the experts in their
Absolutely.
Own world,
yeah.
their own disability, coming to terms with it in their own way. Yeah. We watch, we learn, and we adjust massively our approach.
Yeah, no.
Do you find the course that you've done recently, the CST course, I think you've kind of started it, not necessarily completed it.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Has that helped you get your head around some of the learning that you did?
It does help, for sure. It reminds me an awful lot of being back in my days of working in a nursery and all the stuff we do with the little ones at circle time in the mornings to get them in and get them settled and orientate them to time and place and everything that somebody that is living with dementia kind of needs a little bit. So it's helped. It's highlighted the importance of trying to keep those connections going, because if you lose those little sparks, and they're gone forever. So lots of word games, and I guess it's not The danger for me, I know, was when we had the diagnosis, that's it, it's game over. And that's not necessarily the truth of it. There's still an awful lot you can do to keep those sparks flying, keep those connections going.
So you're not necessarily trying to preserve the person, kind of press pause or freeze in any way, because that isn't an option. But it's about looking for the connections that can exist.
Absolutely.
And they're not necessarily things you're going to expect.
No.
And so what does the CST stand for? Cognitive something?
Cognitive stimulation therapy.
Okay.
So it's about keeping that brain firing. So there's one of the underlying principles is validate absolutely everything that is said to you, whether it's factually correct or not, because it's a bit like dealing with a little one learning to speak. If you don't validate what they say, they don't bother saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And which is why you walk into rooms of people with dementia in absolute silence.
Yeah. There's no such, you try and ask, instead of asking direct questions, which is something I've had to learn to communicate in a different way when speaking to people that are living with dementia. Because if you ask a direct question, they can't give you an answer. So you have to present things in a way that there is no right or wrong answer. It's almost like not steering, that's wrong, but it's sowing a seed and seeing what grows.
Can you give an example?
So we do one of the games that was mentioned on the course I've done is categories. So you would, in its basic form, you would draw a house and you might have props. So you might have a cup or a cushion or a picture or a toilet roll or something like that. And you would say, I wonder where this lives. And it's just wherever. If they want to keep the toilet roll in the oven, that's fine.
Yep.
That's absolutely fine because the process of them deciding has sparked.
Yes, and so frustrating if they've put it in the oven, it's taken all their brain power to do that. And you would say, oh no, let's put it back in the toilet.
And cycling back to my mum, I know in the early days, I was desperately trying to correct her all the time, which just frustrated her. Completely my fault.
No, but it's instinctive.
But I didn't want her to lose it. I was so terrified that she was going to lose that and then I'd lose her forever.
Yes.
But actually I didn't, because as soon as I let go and took her lead, I learned so much more about her.
Yes.
So much more.
So by us trying to keep our person on track, as it were, actually it's more infuriating for them, more upsetting for us. And doesn't come to those golden nuggets of joy.
No.
Conclusion.
No.
Okay. No. So conserve energy, follow their lead.
Absolutely.
Find stuff like the fun tea club. Yeah. What about music?
I was just going to say one of the other things that, so as part of the course, music obviously features massively, and that can be anything from listening to music, I wonder if this is a happy song or a sad song, and from that conversation flows, and then there's rhythms that can come into it. But we've got a wonderful guy at Tea Club who, the minute the music comes on, he brings his own drumsticks and he literally sits and drums out the most amazing rhythms on the table. We had a wonderful choir the other day, which just saw people come alive. And again, it made a connection. There was a wonderful lady there, and Bring Me Sunshine was the last song we sung, and from nowhere she just said, these two were so funny. She might not necessarily have been able to assign the label, but she knew somewhere deep inside her that music triggered something. Magic, bottle it.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, and even though that moment is magic, it actually will last a long time, won't it? It sort of stays in her system. Yeah. It stays in her care or her person, her loved one's system. Yeah. And those are the memories to treasure. Stuff the photo albums.
Absolutely. Because half the time they don't really recognise themselves in the photo albums. I found that with mum.
Yeah.
Everybody, get photo albums. But she didn't recognise herself.
No.
And it almost caused her more turmoil. Instead of living in that moment of where she was today, rather than, does she remember this? Can she remember this? Why doesn't she remember this? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if she looked at a photo and it took her somewhere else, so be it. Because it was about the feeling, not the fact. And that was that's the other big thing. Forget about the facts. Just worry about the feeling.
Yes. And you can change those feelings.
Totally.
We've learned with so many simple tools.
Quite often it's music. Music is so powerful. You can see a little bit of tension arising somewhere when they have a little bit of conflict, but if you put on a piece of music, it completely diffuses the situation. But then it was the same with Kiddies at Nursery. Kiddies at Nursery, bit of a sing song, and everything just takes a big deep breath and resets.
Yes. And it is that reset, isn't it? And with your mum, did you press play on a kind of radio?
For my mum, it was outside.
Okay.
Being outside. Yeah. She liked music. In the last year or so, she switched away from music. Music wasn't it anymore for her. The quickest reset with mum was to get her outside in the fresh air. Even if it was only for 2 minutes, it was enough to just pause, reset. And I think, it changed. I think the reset button changed. There were times when she wanted to talk about, she talked about a lot about her father, who she lost when she was very young. And actually going back to talking about her father was a reset. But certainly in the last year or so, before she passed away, it was, okay, let's get you outside. Let's get you outside. And I think it's knowing what that reset button is for your loved one, if you're doing it on your own, is vital. But also knowing that can change. What worked yesterday won't necessarily work tomorrow.
Yeah. So keep experimenting. And there's no hard and fast. There's no you must do X, Y. No. Just give it a whirl.
Yeah.
See what makes sense.
It's almost you're constantly observing, constantly listening. It can be the slightest little indication in their face that, oh, there was a spark there. That triggered something. Let's explore that a bit further.
Do you think your dementia experience has taught you so much about human nature? Can you now read people way better than you ever could? Or was it always instinctively kind of something that you...
That's a really difficult one. That's a really... I think, as I said just earlier, when mum first got her diagnosis, that was it as far as I was concerned. It was game over. I was so, so wrong. So wrong. And I actually, with hindsight's a wonderful thing, I regret those first 6 months when I was stressing so much about the future. And actually, I missed out. I should have just been living in the here and now with her. And I think if we can get a word out there, that's the word, that, yes, We know it can be horrific. We get that. And we know the ending is really, really foul. But so much fun to be had between whiles. I think we're almost too quick to write, as a society, write people off. Assign a label and write them off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt the same. I wanted to get it over and done with. I wanted to fast forward all of the pain. I just wanted to get to the end, really, and just... Yeah, I think I also probably missed out on lots of opportunities in the same way. I think the word dementia is so depressing and
it
distressing.
Really is.
There isn't any light ever. No one ever jokes about it. No one ever takes the mick out of it.
And I think that going back to Tea Club and actually the coffee mornings we have, it's okay to laugh and it's okay to cry. Both are equally welcome.
Yeah.
And equally important.
Yeah. And the only way we can reduce stigma around something is by taking the mick, having a good chuckle about it. You know, there are no stand-up comedians taking the mick out of dementia. No. And yet there are so many hilarious situations.
Yeah, there really are.
Yeah.
But I think because you're that close to it and you'd sort of worry what other people are thinking and it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No.
And we need to break that down, I think.
Yeah, and are people with dementia enjoyed having a laugh? Laughter was important, and my mum's still prodding people and trying to, taking the mick out of them, and yet her dementia is so advanced, but she knows that if you can't have a laugh about something, yikes, what else is there?
I mean, my mum's motto was, well, we used to say about mum, the day she stops laughing is the day something serious is going wrong, because she always laughed at everything she did, absolutely everything. And there were times when she stopped laughing. So then it became down to us to find that reset button.
Yep.
And help her through it.
Yep.
Help her through it, because the turmoil in her head meant that she couldn't find the way through it.
Yeah.
But if we hadn't, my sister and I, if we hadn't been watching for those little, that sparked an interest. And it was weird things, because she'd always been very family, and it was always my sister and I and my niece were the centre of her world. And suddenly that shifted. And it became more about talking about her father and talking about the old days on the farm. And it's keeping an eye out for that little glimmer of something, something.
And in everyone, something in everyone, there'll be something that makes them feel better in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Tea Club, there's a lady at Tea Club who, she comes with a carer, but her daughter comes as well. And her daughter says she never used to dance, but the minute the music's on, she's up and dancing.
Brilliant.
And she comes alive.
Yeah.
That's her reset, if you like,
yeah,
at the minute.
And
all the time it works, we keep doing it.
Quite right. And once you find something that works, exploit it.
Absolutely.
Keep going. Get the woman's email address, phone her by day or by night, and just, make the most of that chapter of time that works.
Yeah.
There's something also, like we mentioned Donna, who runs the Tea Club.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about her, because she doesn't care.
No.
That really makes sense, doesn't it?
I was even dancing the other day, and I don't dance.
But it's just like,
you know what? This looks really good fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
And it was great.
You need that vibe, don't you?
Totally.
In a care home setting,
totally.
In a home, you know, where it's that intensity between you and your person.
Yeah.
That third party who is very carefree and whose buttons aren't being pressed emotionally, perhaps because they're not a relative necessarily, or they're not married to that person.
Yeah.
So looking for that kind of wonderful, joyful, carefree person, you know, it could be someone that you know in your village, or it could be someone that you know as a friend of a friend. Like, it's worth investing in them, isn't it?
Totally.
And kind of buying
into
that.
And I think there's a big thing for the third party, if you like, the facts don't matter to them.
Yeah.
Whereas to those that are that step closer, so that the daughter or the husband, the wife, whatever, the facts really matter.
Yeah.
They shouldn't, but they do.
Yeah.
It's the nature of life, isn't it? And yeah, I used to be not embarrassed, but just frustrated that mum was compressing history lines, and things that happened 20 years apart would be suddenly almost the next day. And it was like, why? Just what? And it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. And I think that's where, certainly Tea Club, where the loved ones and the carers can just take a step away.
Yes.
And we can sit and listen to the stories that probably aren't factually correct. Doesn't matter to us.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But the person telling you the story feels that you're with them and engaged and hanging on their every word.
Yes.
Because we're, at the end of the day, we're only doing it for a couple of hours, where if they're at home, then it's 24/7, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So to buy into that third party aspect, to allow the family members to see their person in action with a third party, to maybe follow their lead, you know, when they are being relaxed like that. Someone like Donna sort of taught me how to just let go a bit, you know, and pom-pom my way through mum's dementia, you know. And now, you know, I pay for Donna to go in and do one-to-one with mum, because sometimes it's just too much for me.
You need a buffer.
Yeah.
You need a buffer.
Yeah.
When it's you against you against you.
Yes.
Which is what it must feel like. You need that buffer.
Yeah.
You need that buffer. And a buffer that, will let the hair down and be everything that you wish you could be if you're anything like me, but just struggle with at the last minute.
Yes. And yet, Anne, here you are, having said, I don't dance, and yet you do at Tea Club. I don't do podcasts, and yet this is your second one.
I blame you entirely.
And then, just on Tuesday you joined a choir telling me you were tone deaf. So for all of us, it's a big learning curve.
It is a huge fragility of life, isn't it? That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's use it or lose it.
Yeah. And totally.
The years are ticking by, as far as I'm concerned.
Judging by how red we both are, we're certainly at that stage. There ain't not long left. Our mums would want us to make the most.
Yeah.
And they would have said that all through our lives. And we would have said, as teenagers and flick V's, you know, in our early 20s, and then fallen in love and stopped caring as much. And now they sure have taught us that, you know, their end, as it were, is it feels like it's only just starting for us. It's our beginning.
Yeah.
We've learned so much about life thanks to them.
Mum has taught me so much, so much. And actually everything that I do with the dementia experience has taught me so much about myself, as well as what dementia can look like.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's extraordinary that instead of going down the plug hole, which I felt very close to at one stage, you know, feeling as mum was feeling, seeing her desperation, that was my desperation. Yeah. And then thanks to the way she brought me up, thanks to the way she was being unbelievably brave, living with this horrendous disability, I thought, right, that's it. Yeah. It's not going to take us both down. Yeah, you can feel incredibly different because of that process.
Totally. Totally. I mean, it did completely rejuvenate. Once I let go and followed mum's lead, it rejuvenated our relationship. Mm. And actually, I probably felt more like her daughter again in the last 6 months of her life than I did in the first 6 months after diagnosis. And actually, there's a little part of me that wishes I'd never had the diagnosis for her, because all it was a label. It didn't actually change anything, but it terrified me.
Yes.
Absolutely terrified me. And I now know I didn't need to be as scared as I was. Yes, we were incredibly fortunate in that we didn't do the full journey with mum, but having seen your mum, there's still so much... Mm. So much life.
Yeah, it's almost too much sometimes.
Yeah, but there's still those nuggets, aren't there? Mm-hmm. There really are those nuggets. And I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. So perhaps at the point of diagnosis then, for a doctor to say, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't.
Yeah.
And to delete the fear somehow by being in a gang of others who are in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The fear holds you back. The fear makes you feel like a tsunami's coming.
Yeah.
And you're standing on the beach and you see, for me, I felt like the water was retreating. Yeah. And I was like, yikes.
Waiting for it to come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take your legs away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So less fear, less stigma, more jokes about it, more
just
tea
talking.
Clubs.
It's all about talking, and it's talking about others that have gone through it, but not... The books are great. The books are great because they give you the basic outline, but we know that for dementia, it looks different for every single person.
Yeah.
And if you think of what we pick up when we're talking to others at coffee mornings, sitting around the table with 10, 12 people there will be somebody there that has gone through something similar or has got a suggestion on how they might navigate it.
Yeah.
And that's vital.
And the first of those coffee mornings is quite weird, isn't it? When you first turn up.
Yeah.
Can you remember yours?
I was like a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah.
I was lost. I was completely lost because I didn't know how I was going to get through however much of the future we'd got.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to communicate with mum. I literally didn't know anything. They'd literally just given me the basics. They'd said, she's got dementia. Bye-bye. On you get. I mean, I was lucky because mum was in a care home. So I knew her physical needs were looked after. Emotional needs, she still always turned to me. So I knew it was going to be me that had to be there to hold her hand if that's what was needed.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know. Mm. And then there's that awful point where you're sort of listening to other people around the table whose loved ones are further down the journey and you think, this is what's steaming down the tracks at me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, initially probably there's that, it is what I thought it was. It is that horrendous, horrendous journey that we're going to have. But then you start to listen and you start to, people laughing, permission to laugh. Mm. But now I see it in others. I see it in others when they come in and you can see, oh dear, you were where I was.
Yeah.
Let me just hold your hand and it will be fine.
Yes.
It's not going to be nice.
No.
It's not going to be pretty at times. We know that, but we'll get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is not the end of the world.
No.
And had you been to any sort of random coffee mornings ever in your life?
I'd never done it.
No.
Never done it.
No.
Never done it. But I felt so lost.
Mm.
So lost. You'd put a poster up about a coffee morning and I thought, well, you know, we'll go and see. Show willing.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. I think I'd got as far as going on the Alzheimer's website, getting a few of their books, and it scared me.
Mm.
It scared me because it was the nuts and bolts and what I needed was the emotional.
Yes.
The emotional
heart
stuff.
Heart and soul.
Heart and soul stuff.
Yeah. And you only get that from someone face to face.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from an online video.
No.
Not from a book necessarily that might frighten you and it's black and white. There's no heart and soul involved.
Yeah.
So would you encourage people to set up coffee mornings?
Definitely.
Right.
Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah. And all it takes is a poster.
Yeah, well, we're about to start a new one.
Nice.
A new one. So we've got the Wedding with Church. We're about to start the one in Medjugorje, which is really exciting. Because there's definitely, there's such a need for it. There's such, the NHS is so overstretched.
Yeah.
There's not the support there. And yeah, it's the companionship that you're not isolated. And yeah, it's going to be, hopefully, it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Certainly it's been well received when I've sort of scooted around with posters and, oh yeah, that, we need that. And sort of they're naming people that they can think of that it would be valuable to. And
yeah, there isn't a single person, I don't think, who isn't in some way connected.
No.
Either they know someone or they're with someone or it's, their family member or whatever. Yeah. It's just so widespread. So this is a huge movement.
Yeah.
We're only the kind of grassroots, just kind of dipping our toe, but we know that the momentum is massive. In this first year of us being kind of in existence, the numbers of members, the numbers of people that have been kind of recommended our way have increased dramatically.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've got funding, it means that, you know, there is a need. The poor old NHS are, as we know, completely and utterly swamped. They can't do the heart and soul stuff that only face-to-face, as we've discovered, can. And it's time and it's empathy and it's imagination and it's humour and it's all those things that you only get from people that are in that world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Benenden Coffee Morning will totally fly and we'll create another gang of brilliant, brilliant people that can lean on each other.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious. Yeah, I'd never joined a coffee morning before. I think I'd been to a choir before, but I'd never, if I'd saw posters about coffee mornings, I was like, bunch of losers. Like, why can't they just go meet their mates? But why is that, Anne? Why couldn't we just go meet our mates? Like, obviously we could have, but what the difference is that mates want to give a solution. They kind of want you to stop talking about it.
There is that. And I know from my friends, you get the, oh, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't know what else to say. And it's that thing of you're talking to somebody that necessarily hasn't been through it before or scared by it, like I was. And yeah, they don't know how to fix it. They can't fix it. They can't fix it. And they don't really know how to support because it's not talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's being amongst your own kind, I guess. It's that feeling. But no, I mean, my friends were great, but they weren't the people I necessarily wanted to turn to. I wanted to turn to people that I felt safe with, in that I could say anything because they'd probably heard it before, or somebody around the table had heard it before. They knew what it was like to be at the stage I was at the beginning, scared. Just a safe space. And no, there was no judgment.
No
judgment at all. And everybody, I mean, we know now, everybody sits around the table and they're all doing it slightly differently because they all have to do it slightly differently. And that was the other thing that was important, was knowing that if I need to do this a slightly different way, is that okay?
Yeah.
And it absolutely was, because it was taking the lead from mum and making it work for mum. It was the one thing that sticks in my mind was, you're always told never disagree with somebody with dementia, you never say no.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going through a phase where her version of reality was actually scaring her. So I had to say, no, you're wrong, with the risk that it was going to inflame her. But actually, having run it through people at the coffee mornings, it was like, no, you need to.
Yeah.
You need to. Yes, the book might say it's wrong to say no, but in this situation,
she needs that reassurance.
She needs that reassurance.
Yeah.
And that's where the coffee morning is fab.
Yes.
Absolutely fab. Well, you were saying the other day about, we were talking about bathroom issues and you said about the red toilet seat.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, where's that come from?
Yeah, you need a red toilet seat.
But it's nuggets, snippets.
Yep. Yeah.
Exchanging notes.
Yeah. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong. Yeah. It's just how about.
Yeah. And some people want to go down the respite route. Some people want to go down the care home route. Some people are adamant they want to do it at home by themselves. And that's all fine because it's whatever works for you and your loved one.
Yeah. Yeah. And we discovered, I think it was either in the first or the second coffee morning, that most of us, well, no, I think all of us felt like a huge amount of crossness and resentment.
Massive.
And
yeah.
we
yeah.
were generally peeved yeah. in yeah. some way, shape or
yeah.
form.
Yeah.
Like we couldn't believe no. this was stopping us yeah. in our tracks. Yeah. Wasn't the life we'd chosen. Here we are. We're supposed to be backpacking around Thailand by now. Solo, carefree. You know, we've done the stress yeah. and the strain of earlier life. Yeah. Now it's supposed to be our time.
Yeah.
And then, no, Thunderbolt City.
Thunderbolt City, absolutely, yeah.
So we were peeved, but...
There was anger.
Yeah.
And I think you see that a lot with people that first come in.
Yeah.
And that's okay. All yeah. emotions are equally welcome and equally mm-hmm. vital.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's sitting, nattering, talking it through, slamming your fists on the table if
yeah.
that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Tearing your hair out because... Press every single one of your buttons that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
But the community, we like the coffee morning community, tea club community,
yeah.
work better when we're all together.
Yeah. Yeah. No man's an island.
No.
We've all got to be able to reach out to each other. We've all got to be able to be cross
yeah.
and happy and yeah. buzzed, yeah. you know, regardless. There's no rules about that. And I guess, yeah. proves just how much, yeah, we've got to go through the experience as a gang in order for it to, yeah. to kind of work.
Yeah.
And to, yeah, prevent any guilt from creeping in or any kind of, you know, difficult feelings. Yeah. That
There were times, my sister knows, so I'm not speaking out of turns, where I really didn't like my mum.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't like my mum. But yeah. That wasn't the true emotion.
Mm.
The true emotion was from fear, anger,
yeah.
distress.
Yeah.
Just
like when we see in our mums, when they're lashing out, it's because they're afraid.
Totally overwhelmed.
Yeah.
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 But I didn't know any of that before coffee morning. And you still learn. Every day is a learning day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's tea club, whether it's choir, whether it's coffee mornings, whether it's anything,
just catching
up with you. Every day, learn something different.
Yeah, and we just got to keep tapping in because it can be so isolating. You just think, this is my crisis. It's a very personal crisis. People feel really tortured by their situation and they're like, oh, no, I need to just deal with this on my own because you go into that sort of protective mode. And yet, as soon as you gently unravel, as soon as you say help in some way, stuff does get better.
Yeah.
It does. You get a different perspective. You get a different view. You end up going to things with others in the same boat.
Yeah.
And it works wonders.
Yeah.
And yet it's so simple.
Thing of she's doing X, Y, and Z. Is that to be expected? And somebody go... Yep.
yep.
And then you don't. It doesn't feel so immense and so overwhelming and insurmountable, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
That just dissipates
because
there's somebody there that,
no big deal. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Because otherwise it's such a hoo-ha in your brain. You're like, why has my mum got her nappy on her head again? You know, and people just shrug their shoulders. Yeah. No probs. No. C'est la vie.
Yeah.
That's how it can be. Let's have another slice of cake. Hurrah.
Cake solves everything.
And it's true. Then it is a relief all round. And then you go back to see your person with their nappy on their head or whatever it is. And you're relieved because someone said no big deal.
Yep.
So you look at your person and they're relieved because you're saying it's not a big deal. And then everyone's happy.
Because my goodness, that is key. They pick up.
Yeah.
Certainly mum did the slightest.
Yes.
Slightest little inkling in your face.
Yes.
That she'd either got it wrong or... She was doing something.
Yeah.
Or
you were stressed.
Goodness. Stress.
Yeah.
Stress and my mum was, well, me being stressed with my mum was never a good mix.
No. And they copy. They match.
Totally. Because they don't know where else to go with it.
Yeah.
They take their cue from you, don't they?
Yeah, totally. And that's why, again, you need the third party to have fresh face, fresh blood.
Yeah.
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 And if you're anything like my mum, you behave better for the third party.
Yes. Agreed. They up their game.
Totally.
It's so unfair.
Yeah. You baggage wagon, you do that for me.
Brilliant, Anne. Well, we could talk forever and it's always so lush. More soon. Bye.